Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So we're going to celebrate communion this morning, and it's just good for us to, you know, be reminded of where this this started. And for some, you know, we just kind of get bits and pieces. We don't always know where things started, where they came from. You know, I want you to know, some people say, well, it's just about the New Testament. The Old Testament, don't really need it, doesn't really matter. I want you to know that that line of thinking has great error in it. I want you to know that the Old Testament is God's Word, is part of His full counsel. But I want you to know the Old Testament, it foreshadows or foretells the future. And the New Testament, what it does is it's this foretelling that it catches up to when it unfolds and confirms what the Old Testament said. And I want you to know the Old Testament, New Testament, there's a separation of when that the Old Testament ends and the New Testament starts. But I want you to know that they are the full counsel and the full Word of God. And I encourage you, if you're a New Testament reader, I think that is fantastic, but don't forget about the Old Testament. If you are just an Old Testament reader because you like all the history and all of those things, boy, that's a great power to you, but don't leave out the New Testament. They are the full counsel of God working together with a foreshadowing, a foretelling, and a fulfillment. Okay, that provides a foundation and a revelation of who God is, His promises, what He's like, how He treats people, and He doesn't change. He's still treating people the same, and He loves you. He's for you. This counsel is for us, that we can gain truth and understanding, and that when we get to know His nature, when we don't understand something unfolding in life, we know who He is and what He's like, and we can count on Him, and He will provide and make a way for you. So turn to the person next to you and say, I hope you heard that. Yeah, He's going to make a way for you. Yeah. So if we were to travel back, and even if you are not real, you know, educated in Bible history or what's in the Bible, you have heard of Moses. You have probably heard of the Ten Commandments. I know I'm making a few assumptions here, but it's pretty hard to throw a stone and not find somebody within the distance you can throw who hasn't heard of Moses or the Ten Commandments. Now, I know that in our world, in our culture, there are those, not just off in some far land, they live right here in our community, who have no knowledge of Moses or the Ten Commandments. They don't really know the name of Jesus unless it was used with an abomination, right? Or in vain. And that He's a person that loves them. So I get it, but I'm just telling you, you've probably heard of Moses, Ten Commandments. I know some of you are like, oh, here he goes. He's going to start talking about watching the movie, Ten Commandments. I'll sidestep it this morning, but just know I'm tempted within my heart to mention if you haven't seen it. Not that it's all biblical, but it gives you a little overview. See, now I'm mentioning it. So the book of Exodus has to do with the exodus of God's people who were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And they were looking to make an exodus out of Egypt, and they were calling for a deliverer. That was their call to God. And the hour and the day came, and God provides a deliverer, which, you know, is the man Moses. Smart as he was, he had flaws, right? Didn't do it all right the first time, did he? That's how you know that God can use broken people like us. Like you, like me. That God can do things beyond our capabilities. and we should be humble and understanding our limitations and humble enough to trust God that he has no limitations. I'm waiting for somebody to say, wow, yeah, amen. Okay, thanks. So here they are. God's working Pharaoh over. Pharaoh just continues to harden his heart through these 10 plagues. The final plague is that the firstborn son of every household in Egypt, didn't matter, you know, where you were from or whether you were Hebrew or you were Egyptian or another nationality in Egypt, the firstborn son, this is the 10th plague, that firstborn son was going to die. The angel of death was going to pass over and the firstborn of every household who was a male child. And God, of course, gives the antidote, speaks to Moses. The news spreads among the Hebrew people that this will be called a Passover, okay, where you will remember and the bitterness, and yet you will look at the redemption of God. And so every household that would take a lamb without blemish, if they couldn't afford it or couldn't do it, a family that could, you take your neighbors in. And you would sacrifice this lamb, and you would take the blood of this lamb now on the eve of this 10th plague, and you would take this lamb and you would spread the blood of this lamb on the doorposts of your house. And you were to stay within that house. And if the blood was on your doorposts, the angel of death would pass over. And you, your oldest male child, a firstborn, they would be spared. And so this is what unfolds. You can read it in Exodus chapter 11 and chapter 12 about the sacrificial blood of the lamb upon the doorpost. I want you to think for a moment. I want you to imagine for a moment, if you're not. For some, it's easy because you are the firstborn male child of your family. I am. In my family. We don't get to pick that. You're born when you're born, right? And you're born to who you're born to. And if you're born and you're going to have siblings, you have siblings. It's not something that we can control. And so I want you to imagine for a moment being the oldest male child in the family you were born to. After the angel of death passes over and it's the next day, you are a living testimony of your parents' faith or the leaders of the household's faith and obedience. That is a marvelous testimony that you were spared because of faith and obedience. All, now listen, you have a gratitude to your parents that they did this, but the gratitude should extend to even a higher level that God made a plan for you to be spared. It changes the way you think because there's a chance that you wouldn't be here if you were that oldest born son. But you wouldn't be here. And that when you realize that you're spared, you don't just walk away ungrateful and try to take advantage of life. There's a gratitude that should drop deep into our hearts that God cared enough to make a plan, an answer, that we would not fall under his wrath, but he would protect you. He's mindful of you. You matter. That should redirect our heart and our mind and the way we live the rest of our life. And I want you to know, through the blood of this Lamb, whether you are the oldest male, youngest male, female, doesn't matter. That same blood of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, has spared you. Delivered you of all of your past. And it doesn't matter what nationality you are, whether you're Jewish or you're Gentile, whether you're Hebrew or Egyptian, Jesus Christ came. For we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Romans chapter 1. I'm looking over at the quiz master. Verse 16. You didn't let me get there, but thanks, Josh. So, we have a testimony of being spared because the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out on a cross for you and I. And then through faith, we apply that blood to our life. And the wages of sin that brings death, we escape. Because it is a gift of God to you. Not based upon your performance, but based upon your faith in believing in Him, that He is the Savior. And when we move to communion, that's what this is about, right? So there's this history in Exodus that we look at. Exodus 11 and 12. And I want you to listen to this. Exodus 12. Verse 13, it says something very interesting here. You know, as you look at this and you think, okay, here comes the angel of death. He's going to take the firstborn. And he sees the blood over the doorposts. And he passes over that home. So you think that, hey, this is a sign to the angel of death. That's kind of how I'd look at this, right? Well, it doesn't say that. It says this. In chapter 12, verse 13. The blood shall be a sign for you. For you. He says to them, it's forwarded to us. For you, on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood shall be a sign for you. You and I are supposed to recognize the blood. We're supposed to recognize it. Listen, our world is filled with signs and symbols. And, you know, there's some obscure signs or symbols or things that we identify with that somebody else wouldn't. It might jog a memory, something like that. You see a particular flower, it might mean something to you where others would look at it and say it's just beautiful and it smells great. It might mean something to you because maybe it was a particular flower that, I don't know, your husband gave you or it was used at a family funeral or something like that. But there are signs that, you know, the mass of our society see. I mean, if I describe them to you like it's a swoosh. What's that? What is that? Symbol of what? Well, more of you know it. So what, come on. You can respond here. Yeah, Nike, right? Yeah. A piece of fruit that has a bite out of it. Apple. A smile with a little crinkle that's actually an arrow that goes like this. Amazon. Yeah. Shows up at your house probably, huh? On the package. Yeah. You recognize those things. In Christianity, a dove. Holy Spirit actually has multiple meanings, but yes, the Holy Spirit, certainly. You know, if it was pre-New Testament, you know, we know that the dove is a messenger that brings what? Peace, yeah. Messenger that brings peace, being rescued. There's a There's land out there, right? Land of promise. Yeah. So, but there are things that mean something to you. The cross. Right? Yeah. We recognize these things. And I want you to know that the blood was a sign for them. Not the angel of death, not the Lord. They could see it, but it was a sign for us. And I want you to know that you and I are supposed to recognize the blood of Christ. It's for us. Who was his blood shed for? Was it shed for him? It was shed for us. When it comes to communion, it's an interesting thing because we look at his death on the cross. Easter, we look at his resurrection. But during that Good Friday that we call it, or the Passover, his crucifixion, what we do is we celebrate his death. That's peculiar to us because on the human level, what do we do with funerals all the time? It is a celebration of what? Life service. We celebrate the life that they've lived. We celebrate that personal. It's interesting when you look at Jesus and his death, we celebrate his death. Why? Because we recognize his blood and what that means for us. Now, on the other side of the crucifixion, we celebrate the resurrection life, right? We celebrate him in his living, his life. Why? Oh, Jesus is great. He rose from the dead. Why? Because, once again, it impacts us. He has made a way for us. He has conquered sin and death and hell and rose again. Was seen among people, ascends to the Father at his right hand. And so now, you know, Easter, we celebrate his life, but I don't want you to know, we look at communion, we celebrate his death because we recognize his blood. And we escape the angel of death. See, sin opens the door, wages of sin. It's like that door's open, and the wages of sin is death. But when the blood, we recognize the power of the blood, and it's on our life, the doorposts of our life, we recognize the blood. We're the ones to recognize it. We're the ones that are the beneficiaries. And the death passes over, and you and I, through Jesus Christ, have escaped death. Jesus says it. Those in this life who believe, they will never die. Right? Our flesh might go to the earth from which it came. Right? And those who believed in this life who have passed on, they never really died. Their bodies in the earth or wherever, but the spirit returns to God who made it. I want you to think about that. And you are made up of body, soul, and spirit. It's an interesting thing, you know. Jesus is walking the earth, and John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says this when he sees Jesus. He says, look, behold, the Lamb of God. Go back to Egypt. The Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the blood is on the doorpost. They're spared. John says, behold, look at that guy. Behold, look at him. Don't look at me. Look at him. That's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. Wages of sin is death. Takes away the sin. If he takes away the sin, then death cannot touch you. Right? Wages of sin is death. But here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And no one goes to the Father in heaven except through him, John 14. Except through him. He's the Lamb. There's not many lambs. One Lamb. Remember, a lamb without blemish. It's Jesus. There is none righteous except the Lord himself. Only one. You know, it's an interesting thing when you look back in history. I want you to remember Abraham. We go back to Genesis. And Genesis 22, just this story, the first time you read it or hear of it, you're just like, what? So we know Abraham and Sarah. Quick history if you don't. Okay, Abraham was a man of faith. He was married to Sarah. She was barren. She couldn't have a child. God promised that in their old age, like 80-ish, anybody here 80? Stand up. Yeah, please, come on, stand up. If you're 80 or old, stand up, please. This is what 80 looks like. I want you to picture, not these men, but these ladies. I want you to picture them now. The beauty of glory of this marvelous, you know, maidens of the Lord at 80. Pregnant. Sarah hears the news and laughs. Ha, 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 that ain't going to happen. Well, that's, gee. She brought trouble on. They couldn't have a child. Prophesied it, she's going to conceive. Little side note, they got tired of waiting, and they took things into their own hands. I want you to hear that this morning. They took things into their own hands. See, Sarah had a handmaiden. Remember her name? Hagar. And they said, listen, Abraham, sleep with my maidservant. She can conceive. She can have the child. And we take it as our own. That's not what God said. But they got tired of waiting. Do you ever get tired of waiting? Do you ever take things into your own hands and then try to slap God's blessing on it? Huh, you ever done that? Turn to the person next to you and say, oh, I done that. If you're here or listening or at some point somebody listens to this online and hear it at a different date, I want you to hear that. If you miss the rest of this, I hope you don't, because it's about salvation, the blood of Christ. But for your day-to-day living, if you're in the middle of something and you're taking it into your own hands, please don't take it into your own hands. We have responsibility to respond in faith and to do what God calls us to do. But in your waiting, don't take it into your own hands. It's going to mess you up. Okay? So here they are. They take things in their own hands. Hagar conceives. But then Sarah conceives. The child of promise. His name is? Say it loud. Okay, those of you who now heard other people say it like you know it.
Isaac.
Isaac becomes a boy, and God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, I want you to remember, sounds strange. First time I read it or heard of this, I'm like, what? This is the son they've been waiting for, the child of promise, and God says to Abraham, I want you to go. Build a fire, build an altar to me, and sacrifice him. Now, as I've grown older and a little more knowledge and understanding, not based on myself, but by the revelation of God's Spirit that he gives to us when we read his word, the Old Testament is foretelling. Remember that? Foreshadowing, foretelling a future. When that was happening, God already saw the cross. Humanity didn't. And so Abraham, they go through this, and it comes time to put Isaac on the altar, light the fire. He's the sacrifice because God called Abraham to do it, and he did it by faith. And as he goes to slay him, God stops him. And they look in a thicket near them, and there's a ram that's caught. And they take that ram, and they sacrifice it, because God says, I've provided the sacrifice. This happened on an area on Mount Moriah. And so they sacrificed this ram, and Abraham named that place on Mount Moriah, God will provide. Say it, God will provide. Foretelling, foreshadowing. New Testament comes. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus. The blood we're supposed to recognize. We know what it stands for. We know what it means. We remember the sacrificial lamb from Genesis. We remember the blood on the doorposts for God's people, the Hebrews, when they were slaves in Egypt as he was going to bring them out of slavery to Egypt. Out for you and I, it's out from the slavery of sin, that sin is no longer your master. He's bringing you to a promised land. And I want you to know he's bringing us to a promised land. It's not America. It's not even present-day Israel or Canaan. It's his kingdom. He's bringing you to a promised land. So between this salvation and him bringing you out of the slavery of sin, we make this journey. Don't murmur and don't complain. Because there are those who were brought out from God's people and they started to murmur and complain and not trust God, and they started to wander. Are you wandering in life? Post-salvation of the blood of Jesus, but pre-coming into the promised land. I want you to know that those who murmured and complained, they never saw the promise. They died in the desert. Good time to make a real strong mental note. So, he's a sacrificial lamb. The New Testament, Jesus identified as the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. This foretelling that from Isaac, that God will provide. God sent his only begotten Son, that those who believe upon him will not perish, but they will have everlasting life, right? Why did God do it? Because he loved. He loved you. Loves you. Will always love you. It is not his will that you would perish. It is his will that you would be saved, that I would be delivered, that he would bring us into a promised land, a promised place, that we would be able to walk through this journey of life, whether it's dry or hot or cold or wet or whatever it is, that we would trust him. He knows the way. He provided the way. John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Do you know the way? Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, Lord. We don't know how to get there. He says, yes, you do. You know me. I am the way. Keep your eyes on him. Walk with him. Follow him. Don't get lost in your waiting and in your journey. So here, Isaac, it's interesting. Isaac is about to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. This is very interesting. Catch this. Old Testament foretelling, foreshadowing. And God puts a thread through it all and brings it all together. It's a nice, neat package. Watch this. provides, the place of providing was on Mount Moriah. Do you know that most scholars, most biblical scholars, when they look at the ancient Mount Moriah, when they look at where Jesus was crucified on Golgotha or the hill, do you know that that hill was somewhere on Mount Moriah? Don't tell me that the Bible is not true and that God is obsolete, because there are threads of truth that continue to go through the Old Testament and New Testament, foreshadowing, foretelling, the fulfillment of, the confirming of. It is continual and it is constant. Now, those who are living the world and are convinced to be of darkness, they will not understand it. And so they can say, hey, you know what? I don't believe, or there's no God, or whatever it is. Because those are of darkened minds. Paul writes, those who are spiritually minded will understand and receive the revelation. It's important for us to know God's word and to look through the filter of his word for the basis of our life, and not look through the filter of darkness in this world and their attitude and outlook that tries to seep in, and then look at it, look through that to God's word. That filter will not let you through. You and I need to be renewed, right, in our thinking, Paul writes, so that we can test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. We discover that through who he is and his word. I want you to know he fits all of this together. Now, in Luke 22, Jesus says to his disciples, a couple of them are going to prepare for the Passover dinner. This is just a few days before Jesus is going to suffer, crucified. And he says to them, once they are all together at the Passover, he says, I have earnestly wanted to celebrate this Passover with you. They're Jewish. They're Hebrew. They know about Passover. They've been celebrating Passover their whole life. Jesus has celebrated Passover with them before. But on this occasion, he says, I have eagerly wanted to celebrate this Passover meal with you. And they hear things that they've never heard before. When it comes to Jesus giving thanks for the bread and breaking it, and he gives it to them and says, this is my body. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. We know Passover. We've done Passover since we were kids. We've done Passover with you before. Whoa, 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 whoa. We've never heard this. You see, this bread represents my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat it. He says, after supper, he takes the cup, and he says, this cup, they never heard this before, this cup represents my blood. Whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. Well, he's the lamb, right? Doorposts. Jesus identified as the Lamb of God. He says, this cup represents my blood. It brings a new covenant. This blood is for the forgiveness of sins. God will provide. When we see the blood, we're to recognize it and understand it, that that blood is our protection. That blood is my protection. His blood is my protection. In a way that I cannot protect myself. It is by his blood only. Only by his blood. It is our protection. It is my salvation. I'm supposed to recognize the blood. You're supposed to recognize the blood and what it means. Not you got a smiley arrow left at your door. Not just a swoosh, not a piece of fruit with the butt. But this blood we recognize. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we look at the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives us about taking communion, that we should judge ourselves first, not other people, judge ourselves. In other words, if there's things that are wrong that I would come under judgment for before God and my standing, I need to confess to him and ask forgiveness before I eat this bread and drink this cup. That's what we're going to do in just a moment. You're going to examine your life before you eat this bread and drink this cup. It's interesting. And depending upon translation, okay? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, we read this. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Now, in many translations, it doesn't say who drinks without discerning. It says this. Before you eat the bread and drink the cup, if you do it without recognizing the body and the blood, you will bring judgment on yourself. Recognizing. This morning, we need to recognize the body and the blood of the Lord and the supremacy of his word from the beginnings through the endings of the Bible. He has provided protection for you. You and I receive the protection by faith that brings obedience. So I want you to bow your head all over this room, please. This is a moment where you get to recognize the body and the blood of the Lord. Remember him. He's come to take away your sin. Do you believe in the power of his blood to forgive you? Will you recognize your protection this morning? The blood is a sign for you. Take this moment, examine your heart before the Lord. Confess your sin to him. He's faithful and just to forgive every transgression. Come into agreement with him. Ask for his help to continue to carry out that faith as an overcomer that he makes you. He makes you that.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.